Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts. I know we've been on a slight hiatus, but we are back in action at the new studio. My name is William Starchwich, and I'm joined by
Chris Lopez,
Travis White.
And like I said, we're in the new playing through studio at the crossroads of Mercer County at 67 and 17.
Man, it is sweet looking in here.
We're going to have some more announcements about this coming up, but it is coming around for sure. So, hey, what I wanted to kick off first was let's go with some current events. The Ryder Cup event was just a week and a half or so ago, and I kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the overall on that event. And
it was an ass whooping.
It was most certainly an ass whooping.
Absolute ass whooping.
19-9. And what do you guys think contributed most to that ass whooping?
Well, I was reading an article this morning. Freddie was talking about what the team was like when they came in, and he goes, and in past years, he came in and they were all kind of goofy and doing all this stuff. These guys came in serious as a heart attack, didn't really do a lot of team-building activities, but the one thing they did have in common is they all wanted to go get buff. So they're all in the workout. they're in the workout room the whole time, and that seemed to bond them. But then they just basically, it sounds like Stricker basically told them, go out and do where you're,
do what you're good at.
Yeah, do what you're good at. Yep. Don't worry about anything else. Just go play the way we know you know how to play.
Do you know how serious Steve Stricker, who's local-ish. I mean, played at University of Illinois. He's from Wisconsin, which is where the Ryder Cup was this year. It was in Kohler, Wisconsin at Whistling Straits.
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin, played at University of Illinois, and then locally for us here in the Quad Cities, he's a winner of the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, I mean, he's a classic icon.
So, and part of that is that he kind of has a local feel to him. He's a Midwest guy. Mm-hmm. He's never won a major, and after this event, do you know what he referred to the Ryder Cup as?
His major.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so emotional, because he never actually had he was never really a contender in a major.
Right.
But he looked at this as his major. And I actually think if it was me and I'm picking the Ryder Cup captain for the next go around, it's a pretty short list of Steve Stricker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would change anything. Or maybe you make it Freddie with Steve Stricker as a co-captain.
Yeah, co-captain or something like that.
I mean, I think Freddie really wants to do it.
For sure.
And I think Freddie would be good. I mean, I think...
Did you see who else was the co-captain?
I did not. Oh, was it Jim Furyk?
Jim Furyk, I think, was there.
There.
But one of the other co-captains was another local guy, Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
I think that would be... Zach has played in Ryder Cup. Well, so does Steve Stricker.
Yeah.
But I think... That would be huge for Zach, and the fact that he's won majors too.
Right.
Like, did he win a British too? I can't remember.
British.
Yeah.
The Masters and the British.
And British. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Huge for a guy who I think he played at Drake or something in Iowa.
That's exactly where.
He's from Cedar Rapids and didn't get a chance to play where he really wanted to, which is University of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wasn't even the number one guy at Drake.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, but it goes to show you, what. How golf is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it doesn't have to click early in life.
Right. It's just that's the nature of golf.
Yep. There's guys on senior tour the Champions Tour.
That never played
that
in the
really,
PGA.
Yeah, that never played.
Yeah.
It's kind of a crazy thing. But so it's part of the thing that I think made Steve Stricker so good was at being the captain for the Ryder Cup was that he actually went out and played on tour. He qualifies for the senior or the Champions Tour. He's over 50.
Yeah.
So he could have gone out there, rode around, made stacks of cash, and been the Ryder Cup captain like we're used to seeing, which is pick the top six points earners, which usually is based on certain events like...
Don't you have to be in a certain amount of events to qualify for that?
A certain amount of events and qualifying. And FedEx is very similar.
Yeah. Okay.
But the Ryder Cup goes back further.
Yeah.
If you've won a major... If you've made a major in those 2 years, you're typically going to get invited.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that the Ryder Cup was in 2021 as opposed to 20 this year, I think changed the team dramatically.
Yes.
Because if you're talking in 20, you don't have a Scottie Scheffler. You don't have a Jordan Spieth. You don't have a Berger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember if you would have had a Brooks Koepka because he had his wrist surgery.
Patrick Cantlay wouldn't have been there either.
Probably not. And you're talking about the top performers on here, and the one that you would have been a Patrick Reed, but you didn't have Patrick Reed because he was a coach.
Did anybody really miss him?
No.
No. And, Steve Stricker being a great captain,
Do
you know the reason that he gave for not picking Patrick
No,
Reed?
I didn't hear that.
It was because, he's coming off a double pneumonia and he hasn't played a lot this season, so it was really hard for us to make the decision. Let's be honest. And Steve Stricker, that was probably dead nuts on of the reason that he gave.
Yeah.
But you know as well as I do, he's like, it was all about camaraderie with his team.
Yep.
And that's why they went with so many younger players, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, when you have DJ as your eldest spokesman, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he ended up being hilarious.
Oh, God.
I mean, his post-match conference was hilarious.
And undefeated in...
Yeah.
Like, he was
5-0.
5-0.
Yeah.
That's huge. But to your point of Cantley,
mm-hmm.
Cantley was, I don't know how many he scored off, but he played fantastic. And I guess what I didn't really think about was that Berger, he was a coach's choice too.
Mm-hmm.
He was a college teammate of Brooks Koepka at Florida State.
Florida State.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So and
I saw that during the telecast, and I'm like, I did not know that.
So you got those two. You've got Spieth and JT.
Mm-hmm.
JT, when you were talking about them getting all swole, it made me think about his Olympics comment. When he was at the Olympic Village, golf was in the Olympics, and who was it that got the gold medal?
Oh shoot!
Oh, I can't even remember.
I couldn't even tell you.
All
I know is there was that other idiot that medaled.
Was he on the Olympic team too?
Huh?
Oh no, you're talking Rory Sabatini.
Oh yeah, Rory Sabatini, which just irritated
me. Yeah, who's from South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Played his college golf at University of Arizona, I believe, but was representing like France or some weird thing.
Was Belgium or
something.
Belgium,
yes, yeah. That's where his girlfriend was from.
Yeah. Yep.
Your own country didn't want you, dude?
Yeah, nobody likes him. I can't even believe that country took him.
I'm surprised his wife likes him.
That guy, dude. And then the stories I heard at this year's Classic about that guy, oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, Rory Sabatini's had a very checkered career.
Very checkered career.
No, I was thinking about Xander Schauffele.
Oh, Xander, yeah.
So anyway, JT is at the Olympics.
Yeah, he did. He got the medal, right? He got a bronze.
Xander, yep.
He got a bronzer, was it?
Bronzer, no. Silver. Did he get a gold?
No, he won the gold.
Yeah, we might.
Did he win the gold?
Yeah, why don't we research that?
All right.
So
I'll pull it up.
JT, who is a very wiry, svelte
yep.
young man, he's at the Olympic Village, and he's got all these Olympic athletes around him, and he was like, I'm gonna go work out, and he said, I didn't have to fight over the 15-pound barbells.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, Schauffele won the gold.
Yeah, Schauffele, and then.
Sabatini had the server, and CT Pan, who the hell?
From Thailand or Philly, the Philippines.
Yeah.
He played really good, though.
Yeah, and then Morikawa, did they lose out on a playoff?
They were all in that playoff together.
Yeah. So.
But those were kind of the choices that he made. Like I said, the top six were already determined. So when he's going through the top six, it was kind of made for him already because you're looking at major champions.
Right.
You got DJ, Colin Morikawa, JT, Brooks, Koepka, and Patrick Cantlay as all the automatic qualifiers. So you're going through the coaches' selections. You got Daniel Berger, who may have made it in 2020, but probably not. Harris English would have never made it in 2020 because he won the beginning of this year at the Tournament of Champions.
Which he wasn't even qualified for.
That he wouldn't have got into on a normal year.
Yeah.
And then Tony Finau, which I think was a great pick. And I guess I really hadn't even thought that he was on a Ryder Cup before, too.
Yeah.
In 2018. And then you got Xander, Scottie Scheffler, who wouldn't have made it because he was the Rookie of the Year in 2020.
Right.
So he wouldn't have made that team.
Nope.
And Jordan Spieth would have most certainly not made that team.
No, because that was in the middle of his struggles.
Right. So the fact that we were pushed back a year, I thought made this team fantastic. And like I said, the oldest guys on there are probably DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DJ's by far the oldest.
Yeah, Harris English. Harris English had won like 8 years ago on tour and made his way back. That's kind of the cool story with him.
Yep.
And Scottie Scheffler, I think I've told you this before, he's my early pick for a major next year. Like I think he's got that game.
Yeah.
I still think
Cantlay's going to get the Masters here in the next 2 or 3 years.
You know,
that seems to be a course that has always fit him, but he's always struggled down the stretch.
Cantlay is, in a regular event, he was hard to root for, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, when it came down to him and...
John Rahm?
No, Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, Bryson DeChambeau, yeah.
On that, in that playoff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's like kind of chirping at Cantlay about, hey, stop moving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then... He makes the putt and DeChambeau. Like, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And they didn't back down when he had a chance, somebody hitting the ball that far. I thought Cantlay could have folded.
Oh, absolutely.
Easy. But then when he gets to the Ryder Cup, mm-hmm. I thought he showed a whole new level of grit, determination,
right.
Competitive spirit even.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he came out and fucking played his ass off.
Well, and let's face it. I mean, if all these guys come back next year and play to their best of their ability, can you imagine what the majors are going to look like? I mean...
Oh, we could have all four major champions be in their 20s, in my opinion,
yeah,
next year.
And I mean, it is...
All four.
I mean, they're the serious talent. I mean, because first of all, these guys put a beat down on the Europeans who... Most of them were not even close in rankings to any of these guys. But for some reason, they've always said that the Europeans always play beyond that. But this year, you know, whatever Tiger said to them, if he actually did say, go step on their necks.
Right.
These guys did exactly
that.
Yeah,
the Tiger mentality.
Yeah. You know, just make it hurt. You know, and they did.
You know, you've got your European guys that they say they play better because they're more of a close-knit team as a whole.
Right.
They're playing for each other. They want to do this and they want to do that. That team is expiring, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
The European team.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah, the expiration date on that is long gone.
You've now got, well, this year's team had, what was it, Paul Casey.
Yeah, who was, dude, come on.
Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Lee Westwood.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood is my age, man.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Like, you know, and he did have a great year, and, you know, he should have had more wins, I think.
Oh, he absolutely
Like, he
should.
Was right there.
Yep.
But I love seeing this Lee Westwood compared to the Lee Westwood from, what, 15 years ago, Chris?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, it just...
He's more personable.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he's got his girlfriend on the bag, I think makes it hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's huge, too.
Yeah, I think it makes it hilarious because I just think it keeps his humor up, and his humor has been hysterical. And he's been nothing short of gracious to people. I mean... I think from the Masters on is when he really started to struggle. Up until the Masters, he was pretty...
Yeah, I would say he was putting together a solid year.
Yeah, he was putting together a solid year, but for some reason, the Masters, he just kind of ran out of gas.
I would say for the European team, they kind of need to reevaluate how their automatic qualifiers are and try to follow a little bit suit of what the U.S. team did of infuse it with youth.
Yeah.
If you're talking who they're the best player, the best young player on the European squad, Rahm is not that old.
No, mm-hmm. He's only 28.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, like.
Yeah, he's a young buck.
And then after that is probably Victor Hovland,
mm-hmm.
who's 23-ish.
Yeah.
So, I think
he's Morikawa's age, and
yeah,
and, yeah,
right.
I mean, all those guys have come up together.
You know, but the Paul Casey, you know, the Ian Poulter.
I mean.
Ian Poulter, who played well.
Yeah, I mean, I've always
Shane Lowry play?
Shane Lowry,
yeah.
And, yeah, who was the one that I actually was a little irritated by with the comments after? It was Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Oh,
where he,
I remember.
He was, like, chirping about, you know, when we win, we do it with grace or whatever. I'm here to say fuck two.
Bullshit. Right.
Fuck two,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, seriously.
So all the memes popping up afterwards about the, you know, the blue and gold all... You know, zoot suited out and yelling and stuff.
Yeah,
we'll see how cordial they are when the next Ryder Cup, which I believe is in France.
Yeah, Paris.
Paris.
Mm-hmm. That's going to just be phenomenal for those guys to go to.
Well, and really, these guys didn't get a full, you know, effect of all of that because the fans weren't nearly as close.
No.
On most holes.
No.
The way that one's set up is you could. Well, I think it's something like 40% of all the holes you only had one side because there's a. You know, a thing called a lake on there.
Yeah, just a very large lake.
There's a big lake there.
Yeah.
So, Shane Lowry, I thought Charles Hatton played okay. Sergio played good. Lee Westwood, I thought, played okay.
Yeah.
But I thought his
Nobody
age
really
showing.
Did anything special. I mean, you think about it, even in losses, I mean, you look at Jordan's pitch shot. I mean, you got people, you know, draining chip shots in. I mean, holy buckets, there were some great shots by the Americans. I mean, they just seem to be flying things all over the place. And then, of course, Bryson putting on a stripe show.
Yeah.
that last day when he just hammers that onto the green and then grabs the putter before he leaves the tee box.
Yeah.
Dude, that is just, I mean, that was, I actually had gained some respect for him.
I still don't like him.
Yeah, I still don't like him, but I at least respected the fact that, you know what, he's going to get in the moment of Ryder Cup and he goes, and he didn't have to talk a lot of shit, just grabbing the putter was enough.
Yep.
So...
So, yeah, I was talking about Scottie Scheffler a little bit and how he was the 2020 Rookie of the Year. The big baller for the European squad for the Ryder Cup would have been Jon Rahm, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it gets to singles match. Do you guys remember what happened in singles?
Oh, he was down four after four, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he never really clawed his way back. You know, Scheffler beat him 4-3.
Yeah.
And Bryson DeChambeau topped Sergio, who was their other Ryder Cup kind of guy. And 3-2.
Yeah.
Right. That's crazy. But the biggest thing for me was you go through day one, and the U.S. team was up 6-2 after day one.
Right.
6-2. Now, if the way the format was for that, I believe it was alternate shot, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So alternate shot is typically where the U.S. team, they don't play that well.
No.
No, it's the European or the American mentality is I'm playing for me. Right, that's just the way we are as a country. It's all about number one, guy with two thumbs right here.
Yeah.
So that format for them to come out of it 6-2,
was huge.
I kind of felt like it was over already.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go, you know, the end of day two, and the first session they're up 3-1, so you're at 9-3 on day two before lunch.
Yeah.
Before fucking lunch.
I mean, you're well halfway onto the title at that point.
Yeah, at this point to win the cup, they needed 14.5 to 14 to retain for the European squad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the singles, which historically had not been the greatest for the U.S. team.
Right.
And they just fucking, there's no other way to say it. They
obliterated
they,
them.
They took them to the woodshed.
And just gave them what for. I mean, it was unreal to see how many players just stepped up. And I mean, the Scheffler-Rahm match really caught me off guard. I did not expect
and
Scheffler.
Set the tone.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like they had thrown Scheffler out there to just throw him to the wolves.
Right. That's literally what I thought too.
Yeah, I mean, he
was a sacrificial lamb, is what I thought.
Yeah, I just felt like they're throwing him to the wolves, and whatever happens. And then he just puts that ass whooping on Rahm, and I mean, Rahm just looked lost after the fourth hole. I mean,
he had no idea what to do.
He didn't know what hit him.
Yeah, he couldn't deal with Scheffler's game.
Yeah,
just and Scheffler, I'm going to take a stab and say he's 24.
Yeah,
he's not that old.
He's not very old, no.
But he hits the ball a ton. Man.
Yeah.
And his mentality is kind of that of, if you were to look at their facial expressions, not their swings, but the facial expressions and kind of the way they go about their round, to me, he looks like DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like just his mannerisms and everything where he's just like, you know what? I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm just going to go play golf. And that's what I do.
Well, let's talk about DJ, too. I mean, because really, he wasn't playing all that great coming into the Ryder Cup.
I would agree.
You know, he wasn't the whole last half of the season, it seemed like he was just struggling. I don't know if it was injury, you know, but, I mean, he came in and just, I mean, he led. I mean, you wouldn't expect that out of him because he's not the most verbal guy in the world.
No,
he's
right. But he put it out there with his game, and everybody responded.
That, you know, you may have a team captain as Steve Stricker, but you have a playing captain, I felt, in DJ. And like you said, who's not the most vocal guy, and let's be honest, he doesn't come across as the most intelligent dude.
No.
And he may be.
Yeah.
And well, I'm not going to bag on him. He's pretty smart. He bagged Mrs. Gretzky.
We know where most of his intelligence is. Well,
whatever it took to bag Miss Gretzky. That's
yeah, no kid.
You do you, bro.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and the fact that he was 5-0 throughout this,
yeah.
I think there's only like one or two other people in history that have gone 5-0 in a Ryder Cup.
I think three or four have done it.
Yeah, it's like just unheard of. And you get in here where Xander, do you remember who he played in the singles on Sunday?
I'm trying to remember.
It was Rory McIlroy.
Oh, yeah.
And Rory, I think that was the only points he won all week.
Yeah.
Cantlay beat Lowry 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was glad to see that happen because – I mean, Shane Lowry may be a good guy, but I mean, he's kind of whiny.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, he's lost a couple of majors down the stretch, and
it's always somebody else's fault.
And I just.
I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, a dude like that complaining to me just made me want to slap him.
Well, I mean,
I think. You know, I mean, like, dude, stop it.
I thought. You know? I was really irritated because you know, in past years when the Americans lost. You know, one of the things that the reporters really focused in on was the inability of guys to adjust to different golf balls when they're playing with the pairs.
And because
you're not allowed to.
Yeah, you have to pick that ball ahead of time.
You have to pick that ball, yeah.
So if I'm used to playing a Chrome Soft, and the guy my playing partner is a Titleist Pro V1X.
Mm-hmm.
The feel is going to be different. The performance is going to be different. You're going to have to get some different ball data.
Right.
Because all those things, your carry distances and all that will be affected by it.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. The fact that they were able to adjust like that.
Yeah, I mean, this time around, you didn't hear the Americans talking about any of that, but at the end of this whole thing, Patrick Harrington...
That's Stricker's influence. He's like, all this is nonsense. We're not talking about this.
Yeah, just go out and play golf.
Yep. Just play golf. you know, and so I was disappointed, and they brought up for the Europeans, oh, well, they were having an argument about the ball. Look, it shouldn't even be about the damn golf ball. Nope. You guys have all played golf all your lives. Sure, it's a little different than what you're used to, but you still know how to hit the ball.
Yeah, the ball is still a ball.
I mean, because really, come play around with us, and how many different brands do we go through in 18 holes?
Well, whatever I find, baby. My golf game, top flight.
Well, we wouldn't. We're gonna get into a little bit of Travis's game here when we're gonna wrap it up.
Well,
with,
that'll
with
be
our personal
that'll be a
games.
Short conversation because we really haven't seen
no,
Travis.
We're gonna talk about our exploits first.
Absolutely.
And then we'll get into some of Travis's. But
mine'll take like 10 seconds.
I know that's a comedic.
Yeah, Travis played with us twice.
It's a comedic relief at the end. So, anyway, I was just super impressed with him, and I think Westwood actually did win one point on the singles. He beat Harris English. Mm-hmm. Berger won. Casey lost to DJ. Koepka won. Really, there was only two ties: Spieth and Fleetwood, and Hovland and Morikawa. Which those are pairings that you could see, like if that was the final.
Yeah.
At the British, you'd be like, oh, that's awesome.
That's right. Awesome.
Or the Masters or any of those. Those having those guys in the final group, Spieth and Fleetwood, that would be really cool.
Right.
Morikawa and Hovland. Like, Morikawa.
But Fleetwood was another one that I was kind of surprised he was even on there because his year wasn't good either.
No, and I'm not sure why he was picked. Like, I know he's really big on the European scene. Like, that, he could be one of those guys in 15, 20 years that they're – he's a captain.
Yeah. Right.
Like, he's that kind of respected kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that these other guys aren't respected, but I'm just saying there's a different type. It's a captain.
He's kind of like a younger version of Colin Montgomery. Lots of game, wins a few tournaments. Can't win the big one.
Yeah, the only difference is Colin Montgomery, what do they call it over there? Not the money, the Order of Merit.
Order of Merit.
He was which is the how much money you win. Like, there's always the money leader.
Yep.
Over there, it's called the Order of Merit, and I want to say he was their Order of Merit winner like 9 years in a freaking row.
Oh, yeah,
row.
I think he was, damn, he was that dominant.
Just back up the Brinks truck.
I mean, he was that dominant.
And if he wasn't winning, he was a top five guy, you know, kind of like what Nicklaus did in all the majors. He was, I think he still has the record for most second place finishes in majors.
Yep.
As he won 19 of them.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Imagine being in contention, like first or second in majors. 30-something times.
Well, I think he even jokingly said in an interview once, he goes, yeah, he goes, I was just getting ready to come into my own, and he goes, and there's fucking Tiger Woods.
Yeah. right?
He goes, along comes fucking Tiger Woods.
Well, I actually kind of think that was, not Fleetwood, the guy we were talking about that his time has probably passed now.
Paul Casey?
Paul Casey, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul Casey's in his 40s. Let's see here. Ian Poulter never won a major, even though he beat Finau on the final day in singles 3-2. And you could tell that meant a lot to him.
Yep.
Did you see him breaking down after?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of his, too, is he's, you know, I follow him on Twitter, and he's hysterical on Twitter. But he also talked about, he goes, this year has just been a struggle for him mentally. He says, I just have never been able to put rounds together. You know, there was a couple tournaments, but the first two rounds he was just lights out. And just falls off the table third and fourth round. And he just was having – I mean, there was one tournament they said he literally walked off in tears because he just could not figure out what happened.
That's kind of how Jordan, when he was making his comeback, mm-hmm. he would sprinkle a couple good ones in there. He just couldn't put 4 days
together.
Couldn't
put 4 days together, no. You know.
Lee Westwood is the one I was trying to think of when Tiger first started – or not first started, when he hit the scene and he just kind of took over the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Westwood is only a few years – older than Tiger.
Right.
He was just coming into his prime when Tiger hit his dominant streak, and in my opinion, that really affected Lee Westwood's career. He could have probably snuck out a couple
majors.
Think
about how many careers he affected.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And how many he influenced.
You could name 10 that he really affected in the, you know, sending mm-hmm. him in the wrong direction, but you also had, you know, groups that he inspired.
Oh, you look at this Ryder Cup, and mm-hmm. you tell me not every one of those players, minus maybe DJ, just because age-wise. No, DJ would have still been affected pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, they all had to see Tiger and be like, this is cool. Because there's more athletes
playing now than ever. Well, I mean, you talk about the weight room thing that Freddie was talking about. But,
yep.
I mean, who were the guys that were really hitting the weight room when they were coming up? DJ,
Brooks.
You know, I mean, those
DeChambeau
guys.
DeChambeau,
you know. All these guys were hitting the weight room. Not because they wanted to hit the weight room, because they knew that was what they needed because of
Tiger
Woods.
Well, And the explosion in the distance, I think, is, you know, obviously we've talked about that equipment and golf ball,
mm-hmm.
essentially, but Tiger made it vogue to work out.
Yeah.
Like, because he knew, I mean, he was hitting the ball a ton.
Tons.
You know, before.
But they were changing golf courses because of this guy.
Yeah, they wanted to tiger-proof them. Yeah. By making them longer is typically what they would say. And I'm like, you're actually playing directly into his hands.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't care if he shoots a 64 or a 69 as long as he's freaking winning.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean.
So that you're tiger-proofing it against everybody else, you're actually, you know, tiger-proofing it for make sure he's in the top five.
Yeah.
Well, and if Bryson were all of a sudden to go on a major run, all right, would they start Bryson-proofing courses?
What would they do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it.
Yeah, you'd have to U.S. Open all of them, make them tighter and more
raise
rough.
Raise the rough, yeah.
But are you really affecting him or are you affecting the field? Because, like, we talked about these numbers before. I want to say Bryson was hitting the – when he won at Winged Foot,
mm-hmm. Yep.
He hit the fairways 39% of the time, and the field was at 41 or something.
Yeah.
Well, he's taken a wedge out of the rough where somebody else has taken a 7-iron out of U.S. Open rough.
Right.
I would take the wedge out of the rough than the 7-iron.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're only talking 2% difference on all your driver holes, who gives a crap?
Right.
But anyway, I think Tiger obviously influences everything in golf.
Still.
Still. Mm-hmm. Even though the Masters that he won 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking amazing.
Even more amazing now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had the picture yesterday of him watching Charlie warming up for a tournament, you know, and everybody got, I mean, Twitter exploded.
Yeah, where he's on the crutches with the.
No, he didn't have any crutches.
Oh, really? I saw the one with the crutches.
No, he was just leaning on a golf club with his leg sleeve on, with, you know, that.
Oh, in shorts?
Yep.
In shorts. Oh,
okay, I did see that one.
Yeah.
I did see that one.
I mean, that would, and he looked good.
Yeah,
I mean,
actually.
Physically, he looked good.
If you would have told me that was before the accident, I would have I would have bought it.
Yeah.
Like, so,
I mean, because they were doing close up of his arms, and he's got the pipes.
I was gonna say, yeah.
He's been working out.
He's been working out. Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that the Ryder Cup was phenomenal. The U.S. win was fantastic. The highlight of the entire thing for me, though, was at the press conference when DJ is sitting there and ask him if they were to crack open some beers. Would you be able to, what did he say, like he bury goes, all these guys or something?
Would these guys be able to drink you under the table?
How did he say it? DJ, can you, even
oh,
though
you
you're
stay
the
old, with these guys.
Even though you're the oldest one, can you hang with these guys? And he goes, absolutely.
Fucking literally.
Oh, he was messed up.
And did you see?
And did you see how hammered he was already?
Yeah. And did you see Brooks behind him, Brooks Koepka?
Yeah.
Really chummy. And they were super tight back in the day. And I don't know what happened or if it was just a natural, like, drift apart for a little bit.
Right.
But it looked like they were.
You don't think Brooks was chasing after?
Might have.
Might have been. Could have been over chicks. Could have been over
chicks.
We're
not saying anything, but. You know, I'm going to say there might have been a four-way stop in there somewhere. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
God.
Hey, we're...
But it seemed like they were...
We're not professionals. We're not saying... We're just...
This is completely opinion-based. There's no actual facts involved in this broadcast.
We absolutely know human nature. So,
something went down.
Yeah, we're just going to say...
Something went down.
I'm going to say a couple somebody's went down.
Yeah,
I mean, something's
absolutely.
Went down. Like, we don't vacation together as much as we used to.
Yeah.
It got a little weird.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I got to bring up just a week after that, Bryson DeChambeau entered the long drive championship. And I know that he made it through to the second round at least.
He finished, what, eighth?
Eighth?
Yeah, I think he finished
eighth in the Remax World Drive?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, and, you know, and the funny thing on, you know, you guys know me on Twitter. On Twitter, Freddie Couples was going bonkers. He just loved it. He says, this is perfect for the game. He goes, the fact that somebody could come out there from the pro tour of regular golf and come out and finish in the top 10, he goes, that's huge.
Right.
I was watching, somebody had posted something about how he'd been training all year
mm-hmm.
to prove that he could outdrive PGA players.
Right.
And then a PGA player comes to his world and knocks me out of the first round.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a wake-up call because it's not – obviously, swing speed is important,
mm-hmm.
but if you're not making the right contact, which DeChambeau probably makes cleaner contact than most
clean,
of those guys.
As clean a contact as any of them, you know. I mean, some of those guys that are ahead of him, though, I mean, they're freaks of nature. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't see any of them ever, you know, I know Berkshire is trying to become
a
golfer.
He's trying.
Kyle Berkshire.
You know, and
that's probably why he didn't do as well.
Yeah.
He won it.
He won it.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He drove it like 422.
Yeah, 420.
I thought that he'd bowed out after the second round.
No.
He won the whole thing.
Damn.
No, but one of the other guys that has been talking serious, I cannot think of what his name is, because he's on Twitter, of course, but, you know, he was disappointed. But Berkshire, I know they send things every week, you
mm-hmm.
know, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, you know, whatever. And they show him on there, and they, you know, he's hitting you know, for us, like, you know, it's 140 yards. I mean, he's hitting a freaking 60-yard wedge.
Yeah, not even a full one.
Seriously. And I'm like,
well, he's the one who hit like the 300-yard 8-iron or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's done almost every club up to like a 6-iron 300 yards.
Jesus.
That's disgusting.
He does a lot of videos with Good Good and some of these other YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually trained with Bryson at the clinic and did some of his weightlifting and stuff too.
Yeah.
With Berkshire there. So I know Berkshire and DeChambeau have done a lot of work together in Texas. But I thought Kyle bowed out early.
Nope. No.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, he did a really good job.
Good for Samson.
And
those long flowing locks.
He's got the flow.
Yeah, braid that and, you know, work Hollywood and vine.
Come on, stop it.
That's what he looks like. It looks like if he couldn't hit a golf ball 400 yards that he'd be working Hollywood and vine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Be part of that four-way stop.
Oh, whoa. All right, so let's go to a little bit of local here.
Mm-hmm.
Our Sherrard golf team just finished up their regional, sectional, and then state tournaments. They won the region, and we actually had one of our close friend of the channel.
Yep.
Won medalist at the region.
We had the region.
Austin Fratsky. I think 75.
Shot 75.
75 at Midland, formerly Kewaunee Dunes.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
So they won that first time they were regional champs, even though they were sectional champs the year before.
Yep.
But 2020 we did not have a state tournament, so they didn't actually get to go to state, even though they were sectional champs by something like 30 strokes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to play that on their home course at Fire Lake, so they advanced to the sectional, which was down by Springfield, and I believe they placed second,
yep,
which got them into the state tournament.
As a team,
as an entire team. I don't know if any of them would have made it individually or not, but they didn't have to worry about it because the way it breaks down, if you're in the top two teams, they take the next X amount of stroke qualifiers that aren't on a team that made
it. Was it three players?
I would say it's three.
I would say it was three players from Sherrard got into the tournament. Only one made it to the second day.
The 2 years before?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would have been Brandon Welch made it.
Yeah.
And I want to say Earl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made it through the second day.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Brendan right before they left. Was that Thursday morning or whatever?
Yep.
And I said, hey, man, so did you place at state as a sophomore?
Because
this would have been his senior year. So he would have technically qualified for state 3 years in a row.
Right.
And got kind of, I don't want to say jobbed out of it, but COVID, the pandemic, you know, dinged a little bit.
Well,
think
about the younger Earl. I mean, he didn't get to go to the state tournament as a senior.
No, and that was, his brother had placed in state the year or two before.
Yeah.
Yeah, eighth or something like that.
Maybe? Yeah, seventh or eighth.
Yeah.
So the fact that they, you know, the would-be juniors got to go back as seniors is really big. And then they played really well, made it through day one, and then they came into day two on the Elite Eight. And they ended up finishing seventh.
Yep.
And Brennan, I think, finished 12th in state overall. So really good to see. And more importantly for the coach, Brett Williams, he sent a team or individual to state 8 or 9 years in a row. Eight for sure, but I don't know if that was counting this one or not. But 8 years in a row, that gives you two full classes that you took to state, like all the way through freshman to senior twice.
Yep.
I don't know of anybody in the area that has done that in golf. But, I mean, Riverdale probably is close.
I would say Riverdale's
probably. And speaking of Riverdale, they actually came in sixth.
Yeah, they were one spot ahead.
Yep, one spot ahead and nine total strokes, which they got seven of those on day two.
Yep.
I know that the guys were saying they didn't play that great on day two. They shot a 331 in that round for an overall 654. You kind of break down those numbers, and they would have been in the low 80s on average as a team for the four recordable. The number one team, the one that won the state for 1A, is Valdelia, South Central. They shot an overall 616.
Oof.
Damn.
That means if you're taking their four top scores, right, for the 314 they shot that day, they're all in the mid-70s.
That's just...
76, 77.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That for high school kids, you're talking 16, 17, 18-year-olds playing in that and shooting in the mid-70s.
Yep.
That's, I mean, for Sherrard, they were pretty close to what their average was. If they were a 330 team, That's the combined scores of your four out of your six best guys. That's really where they targeted all year was 330, and they were 14-2.
15-2.
Yeah. And their two losses came to
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
Yep.
Who's a team that's just a shade better.
And then the guy that won the overall 1A, wasn't he from Rockridge?
He's from Rockridge, Drew Hall.
Drew Hall, yeah.
Drew Hall, who's also a multi-state qualifier and probably would have had a good chance at winning it last year.
Yep.
Also a friend of the program and coach, and he's been through our academy, I think, twice when we had it over at Fire Lake. So he got overall medalist for state. His team didn't qualify, but he did.
Yep.
Which is great. Actually, did Owen... he's also a Rockridge golfer. I'm not sure if he qualified for the day two.
I don't think he did.
But anyway,
I could be wrong.
It was great. Either way, that both of them made it through sectional into state.
Right.
For the size of this area to put out that kind of golfer to me is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And the Earl boys, who are also Sherrard alums, they made it through regional on the junior college rank at Blackhawk.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them did. I'm not sure. Or did the team make it?
I think the team made it, and but they were being led, I think, by the Earl boys.
I could imagine that.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty.
We were worried about the vehicle noise because we're right here on 67 and 17, but apparently it's the Bush Latte.
It's the Bush Lattes that are seem to be taking up all
I'm
the
thirsty.
Time. You know, and then if you look at the other classes, too, I mean, Moline came in. They had a team that made it all the way. They finished eighth as a team.
Really?
And a bunch of kids finished in the top 30.
Oh, really?
So I thought that was pretty good.
Well, Allman had some individual golfers, but I don't know where they were
golfers.
Team.
Rock Island had a couple individual golfers make it. I think classes 3-1, I mean, actually had some good things happen.
You know what I think is kind of cool about the state tournament here in Illinois is they all go to the same
course.
But they don't go to the same course. They play all the same day.
Yeah.
But they're all in the same area.
Yeah.
So I know that some of them played at the Illinois State Golf Course, which is a Wybring course.
Mm-hmm.
Which so is Deer Run, by the way.
Right.
But these guys played at a different course, and then the ones played at a different, twos played at a different, threes played at the the Illinois State course, the Wybring course. So the fact that they were all playing on the same day, you knew by the end of the day who everybody was. It wasn't like they were going to space it out week by week.
Right.
Which would have been cool if they were all on the same course on the same day, just so you have an overall. But that's the reason that they're broke into the divisions like they are.
Yeah.
Like a lot of... states might have for wrestling as an example, let's say you have 1-6 different classes, then they have an overall.
Yep.
So you're going to put it all together. You know, you're going to really know who the best guy is.
Right.
So if there's a guy who's a smaller school, you know, 2A, and he just dominates, well, he's going to get a shot to prove that he was better than the other guys.
Right. Yep.
Which they do, you know, because all these guys are actually wrestling in camps and shit together too.
Yep.
Just like the golfers. These guys have all played together, you know, for years. I know the Allman guys have played with the Rockridge guys and the Sherrard guys the whole way through.
I think they all eventually cross paths.
Some point in time.
Yeah. In junior golf especially.
You know, and I think they said Moline's team was the first time they'd qualified a team since 96.
Which, to me and you, that doesn't seem that long ago, right?
It doesn't seem that long ago, but in reality it is.
You're coming up on, you know, quarter of a century.
Yeah, 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think that was good for Quad City Golf, and then if you go across the river, Pleasant Valley finished second in the state of Iowa.
Good for them.
You know, and they had some golfers.
Yeah, they did.
They had some golfers.
That's awesome.
You know, so you're seeing some good things, and then you go to the girls. I mean, just same thing. We got some girls that, you know, even the Sherrard girls didn't do too badly this year.
They made it to sectional.
Yep.
Which, if you were to base it on the teams that we'd seen over the last 2 years.
Right.
That's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I think it was a big surprise.
Yep.
You know, The two girls, the sisters that were there, one of them plays at Western now, the other one's out of golf, but they both qualified for state and placed. So anyway, it was just really good to see local guys doing well at the high school level. And, you know, we're just going to roll that right into Mr. 79 over here last week at Gibson Woods in Monmouth.
Lame. Some people got work.
We'd kind of been struggling a little bit to break that threshold of 80 this year.
That was our goal at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it just...
I mean, if you go back to our first broadcast before this summer, that was our thing, is we all wanted to break 80.
Yep. Yeah.
It took us the whole damn summer.
Well, and currently, you're the only one that's
there. I'm
not even remotely close.
No, you are not.
And
we'll get into that.
And literally, Bill was one putt away, you know, and...
Chris is 79 and my 80. It just sounds so different. But it's one stroke, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So, but it was, I mean, I didn't think it would happen on that course just because
it was the first time playing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know how wild I am at times.
You never played Gibson Woods?
I'd never played it.
Oh, I'd only played the front nine in the last 20 years one time, and that was with the Orion girls when we went over there for regional. Conference meet. Regional.
And actually, I think the thing that did set the tone for my game that day, so really, is that where you're going? We're worried about trucks, Bush lattes, and now your ass.
Yeah. Right,
so, I think the thing that set the tone for me that day was the second hole.
Oh, yeah. You're familiar with Gibson Woods? Number two is
isn't that the one with the big ditch?
Yep. He was on the front of the green.
Lame.
Yeah, it was the best shot I hit all day. It was the best shot.
Ask him how easy that was of a birdie.
It was not an easy birdie because they lipped out.
So he parred it. He drove the green and parred it.
Drove the green and parred it, and then...
Great tee shot.
And then he got to watch me eagle the next hole.
Oh, that just hurt. And I mean, I lost the hole with a birdie.
Yep.
I birdied the hole, he eagles it. So,
yes,
but
sir.
I also had some shots that I pulled, you know, completely from you know where. I think the 55-foot par putt.
Yeah.
That one, the look on Bill's face was...
Is it that look?
It's that same look. It was that same...
It was the same look I gave myself after, what was it? I birdied 15, and then I proceeded to bogey 16, 17, and 18 for an 80.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't have one. And honestly, he didn't have a bad tee shot in the bunch. It was, I don't know what it was.
Well, the
18, I know, was the chip you left a little bit short.
And that green was so far uphill.
It was
super slow, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, the green sloped front to back. It wasn't wasn't the hole was uphill.
Yeah.
It was like 210 or whatever to the pin.
Yeah, that's a par three, right?
Yeah. Long.
Oh, and I butchered that hole. How I got a bogey on that?
He topped a 5-iron halfway to the green, and then
hit it to the left. Hit it to the left on the collar.
Chipped up.
Then I chipped up close, and I had 4 feet for
I bet probably more like 5 or 6.
5 or 6 feet for bogey to finish 79. And somehow I went got it, you know, and we all know
it made it.
We don't know how, but it went in. It went center of the damn cup too.
Which. I was just on the front, maybe 3 feet of collar to work with. I chip it up to about 12 feet, and it was tracking.
Right in your wheelhouse.
It is, actually. 12 feet is in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
But I missed it and freaking had to, you know. But congratulations, Chris. Son of a bitch.
Well, there's still some time left.
But Chris had an eagle earlier in the year at Rustic. I had an eagle at Gibson.
Where
are you at on the eagle count, Travis?
I don't have one.
No. Oh, ever?
I've had, maybe.
Oh, have you had a birdie this year?
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. I haven't really seen him, so.
He birdied when we played Short Hills for the first time.
Oh.
On 3?
No, 13.
13.
Right next to the road. Yeah, because I topped a driver and then nuked a 3-wood.
And I birdied 17 that day.
Yep.
And really, that's the only times I played Short Hills.
Yep.
And that
I mean, I was telling Bill the other day, between he and I, 45 rounds of golf. I've played a lot on my own, so I have about 52 rounds.
52 rounds of golf in one season?
One season.
In northwestern Illinois? That's pretty solid.
Pretty solid. And
we're not done.
Yeah, we may have a couple of weeks. We don't know this year. Last year, I mean, we got lucky. We got all the way to December.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get there this year.
I think the bottom's going to drop out.
I think the bottom's going to drop out. But... big thing is we'll have the studio now.
Yeah, the studio, which, like we said earlier, is at the crossroads here in Mercer County, Viola 67 and 17. This is going to be a totally different winter for us.
Dude, it's going to be baller.
Last year, we had this set up in my garage, at least one hitting bay.
Well, and Travis was almost as tall as the garage.
Yeah, he was limited. Travis is 6'6", and the ceiling of my garage was maybe 10 feet with all the padding and all the paneling and all that kind of stuff for the hitting mats, probably playing 9.5, and Travis would ding his driver off the...
I did. I got a big chunk missing out of the bottom of it.
Out of your driver?
Yeah.
Is that why you don't hit it? Oh, I actually haven't seen it.
No, we haven't seen it much at all.
I know. I've been busy, guys.
Lame. Excuses. So now we have, 12-foot ceilings. We're going to have 2 hitting bays.
I was going to say, not just one bay.
No, there's 2 bays.
2 bays, chipping nets.
With the SkyTrack and the Garmin and chipping nets and putting areas. And it's going to be quite the...
And a cooler for, pop.
Yes, refreshments.
Pop. Who drinks pop?
You know, we got the popcorn machine and our cooler for refreshments. We are set for the winter, fellas. Bring it on.
We still have a Pizza Bazaar somewhere?
Oh, we do.
Oh, I have it.
We do.
Thanks for reminding me. I got to grab that before.
It's going to be an interesting winter for us here. I know that we're going to be talking with Brett and some of the guys from the golf team. We've also got a few other guests lined up for this season.
Open team, yeah, get everybody in.
Like I said, we know that it was a long season. We had a lot of things going on, which we'll get into more about, the work and changing and,
Job situations.
Yeah, and local course ownerships. There's a few things to be talked about there between.
And or bad-mouthed.
Just between, Fire Lake or the fire or whatever.
Whatever and, the hell you want to call
Kewaunee
it.
Dunes and Midland. And it's kind of it'll be a little bit of an expose on ownership and their styles.
Right.
And how it kind of affects everything that goes down from there.
Well, because you and I had the conversation down at Gibson is how much has Mercer County's golf scene
changed?
Oh, yeah.
Losing a whole golf course and having a golf course that we're still not sure what the point of it is right now.
Yeah. And I'll get into my speculations on that in the next, few episodes. But we are back and we're raring to go. And this is going to be the weekly thing. We're going to drop episodes every Monday night. So we're going to try to keep current events. And then even in the wintertime, we're going to do current events on, what we're doing in here at the studio and, kind of how that grows and plus our games.
Right.
And the travels that are going to be associated with it.
Maybe one day I'll play.
Yeah, you've got to get out before the snow's flying this year.
If anything, we need
I got a couple weeks at the end of the month.
So if I say in 2 weeks, I'll give you 2 weeks.
Okay.
And we do our match play, a 9-hole match play.
Me versus you?
Yeah, me versus you, and I'll give you 2 strokes. Do you think that's fair?
Where are we playing?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. We can play anywhere. And I feel pretty comfortable giving you 2 strokes at 9 holes.
Touche.
So anyway.
Yeah, I'd feel pretty comfortable with that now.
And speaking of that, this episode will be out tonight, and you need to go over to the YouTube channel and check out the match between Travis and Chris that we filmed back in.
Is it on there?
Early season. It will be on there tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
So don't be a spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Jesus.
No, I did not.
That's a shocker to everybody.
Yeah.
No, but it comes down to the end.
No, he actually hung in there.
Yeah.
He hung in there.
Hung in better than I did.
Yeah.
Worked.
Mine won't be out till next week, but.
If you get it out.
No, it'll be out. I unfortunately have been working on it, and there's no way I can doctor it to where I win.
Yeah.
I've been doing the editing, and it just comes out.
Jacob's been handing you all
summer.
Yeah,
it just came out as an ass kick, and there was no way around it. But anyway, you guys got anything else?
I got nothing.
All right, well, I'm ready to go to get back to doing the show on the weekly. And we got a lot of stuff to cover, and we've got a lot of potential people that are going to be coming in to sit down with us and talk about local golf and even national.
Perfect.
So anyway, thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Out. Later. No, man, we're at the crossroads.